How's it going, listeners? Chris GST, web admin for PWPonderings.com. We are here with a PWP Extra. We're going to be talking about the VWAA Wrestling Is Hard doubleheader. And of course, I'm not that egotistical. I couldn't really do this by myself. So I brought in Tom Green. Not that Tom Green, the other Tom Green. Tom, how are you doing, sir?
My favorite thing about my Twitter handle is I've worded it as such to where whenever anyone introduces me, they are forced to shill it. By explaining who I am, I'm a genius.
That's
but no,
brilliant.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's not like we've been talking for the past hour or anything. You just called me.
Yeah, exactly.
Natural. No, I'm excited, man. May 19th, VWAA, 4 p.m., doing a doubleheader with Wrestling Is Hard. There are some dudes that are going to go through freaking tables. Not tables, but doors. Doors. Doors are even better than tables.
Yes, because that's trademarked.
Literally, Axel Rotten has trademarked the table. I don't know why he did, because, you know, Public Enemy and all of them, you would think would have, but no, Axel Rotten. It was a big old legal mess. Lawyers were brought in. Clarence Mason is a name that I was heard throwing around. This is a true story.
Big time.
Laughing. But no, VWA on Sunday, May 19th. The one thing we didn't talk about in our chat off air was when will this be going up? Because I don't want to be like, oh, next Sunday, and then, oh, it's not going up until the Thursday before.
And then this is absolutely going up very soon. So, yes, next Sunday from this May 19th. You're not really quite there on the 12th yet, so we don't want to confuse people on the date.
Well, the 12th is this Sunday, and the 19th is next Sunday. I will argue semantics, young man. I will argue semantics.
Yes. Well, this is we should talk about some semantics here. This is Numbers Game 3.0, and this is, as we said, a co-promoted show. Wrestling Is Hard takes place at 1 p.m., and this is in Plainfield, Illinois, at 16,300 South Lincoln Highway. Trust me, we will provide all that information in the podcast. And then the VWA show is at 4 p.m., as you noted. So it's going to be a fun time. Lots of good wrestling. You should definitely check that out. I'm going to give some information for the prices of the tickets. Front row is $15. General admission is $10. You get $2 off if you attend both shows. And then kids 12 and under are free with a paid adult. So kids, bring the kids. It's going
to
be
fun.
As
opposed to enslaved. They are not enslaved if they come to the show. That was a horrible joke. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry.
I'm not even sure where you were going with that.
Because they're free. You set them free if they come with an adult, but if they come alone, they are slaves.
That's why. They have to be with a paid adult. So
yes.
Yeah. We're not giving them away. But anyway, let's get into
that'd
this.
That'd be a unique raffle at a show.
Would be.
If you buy one, get one, and the winner gets a kid.
Now that's a stipulation right there. So let's talk about this. It's kind of exciting. So VWA, they have this, I want to say, kind of unique match, as we kind of alluded to. Doors, ladders, and chairs. And they're crowning their first, well, not first, but their new VWA circuit champion. Of course, in 2012, if any of you guys, hopefully you did, you read some of my reviews of VWA, you know, their circuit championship, you know, really kind of like, I want to say, I don't know how to put this. It's the championship that the guy, you know, the guys are kind of all, they're looking forward to attaining, because it puts them in the, you know, that the main rankings in VWAA. But of course, in 2013, they've kind of reinvented themselves. They've kind of destroyed the history of the past. And now we're going forward. So we're going to crown a new champion. A lot of fantastic names already announced. And I know, Tom, you have some special news for us about that, but I'm going to let me run down the people that are already announced, and we can get to that. Colt Cabana, Prince Ali, Alex Castle, Matt Cage, Christian Rose, Reed Bentley, Trip Cassidy, Joe Faraz, Thomas Sinclair, Dale Patricks, and recently Jervis Cottonbelly. Honestly, that alone, that tournament alone, I think would be fantastic. But Tom, you have some news about some possible new participants in this?
I'm going to explode with excitement. Two names added to the tournament today, as I am speaking to you. Arguably, other than Cabana, the two most nationally traveled competitors in this tournament. From Dragon Gate USA and all those other fun groups, coming to VWAA, I believe this is their debuts. I tried Googling it earlier. Nothing came up, so I'm assuming this is their their debuts to the promotion would be the anarchist Eric Cannon and Chuck Taylor. Two guys I'm very intrigued to see in this tournament because unbeknownst to others, like Cannon has a history with a number of guys in this tournament, like the Kentucky Buffet, Alex Castle and Matt Cage and Christian Rose. Though he's done battle with them in Southern Illinois plenty of times for a promotion down there. Same with Reed Bentley. Reed Bentley had one of his best matches ever last year with Eric Cannon for a promotion down there. You can get that at smallarkvideo.com. So just Google Reed Bentley, Eric Cannon. That'll come up. But first, buy VWAA stuff. Dale Patrick's score his biggest win ever on the April Wrestling is Heart show, which I'm sure will soon be on smartworkvideo.com against Eric Cannon. So that's all sorts of interesting combinations can be made with Cannon. Chuck Taylor, here's why I'm intrigued by Chuck Taylor in this tournament, because he's kind of at the spot in his career right now where, yeah, he's still a young guy, but now he's one of the veterans on the scene. And I see a lot of similarities between him and Trip Cassidy. They are both very similar physically. They both have come from kind of goofy, comedic backgrounds, if you will. Trip did a lot more haha funny stuff a couple years ago. But Trip is where Chuck Taylor was in 2007, where Trip is right now. Trip is on that cusp between, you know, being one of the top regional guys in the country, in the Midwest, and being a top national name. I wanted to go into this further later in terms of why this tournament, why this grouping is so interesting. But I see Trip being where Chuck Taylor was 5 or 6 years ago. It's almost like a time travel, time warp deal. If those two have any interaction in this tournament, I think that'll be something where we can go back 5 years from now, when Trip Cassidy has, you know, gone to Europe, gone to Japan, done all the things Chuck Taylor's gone on to do, when he was, you know, 19, 20 years old, like Trip is now, be like, oh, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of those two meeting up at this crossroads in their career. There's so many intersecting lines, and this guy could wrestle this guy, and it would be great. It kind of reminds me of a WCB magazine I had when I was like 5 or 6. It was right before War Games 92, you had Sting Squadron on one side, you had the Dangerous Alliance on the other, and there were like all these intersecting lines. This is why this guy hates that guy. This is why this guy's buddies with that guy. This is why these two would be interesting fighting each other. It's kind of like this here, where almost everyone in the tournament somehow has some sort of intersecting line with everyone else, and I think it's intriguing on that level, on top of how good the wrestling's going to be.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the product that VWA is giving us. That's why I really encourage everyone, check this out. Of course, their website is VWAWrestling.com. So they're crowning this tournament, and this tournament has, man, I think, just a lot of potential to just have some tremendous wrestling, but also it's unique. It's something different about it. So I'm going to get down to this. These are the details that I know. And Tom, if you have any extra details, feel free to, you know, push me aside and tell me I'm wrong. But from what I understand, there's going to be trios elimination matches. So I'm assuming 3 guys in the ring. And, of course, the winner goes on. And we're going to say that I'm not going to say that the winner potentially has he's the best guy in the ring at the time. But when you have 3 guys in the ring, that's a lot different from a psychology standpoint than just two.
Let me correct you. I believe that it's not like a 3-way. It's like trios as in 3-on-3. It's like a Survivor Series match.
Ah, okay. So there. You're already correcting me on this. That's fantastic. Okay, so it's going to be 6 men in the ring at a time?
It's going to be just like your ordinary Survivor Series match. You know, you got, you know, the team of 3 versus team of 3. And whoever's left from the surviving team, it's like Survivor Series 1990, where the survivors from each team would then go to the Ultimate Survival match. In this case, throw a little bit of Battle Bowl in there, and that instead of them being on teams against each other in this Ultimate Survivor match, it's a free-for-all. And in this case, it's like if they gave Hulk Hogan and Tito Santana like doors and ladders to beat the crap out of each other with. It's going to be whoever's left. So there's not a finite number of guys in this final doors, ladders, and chairs match.
No, in fact, we actually don't even know all the participants yet. So the guys that we just mentioned, including Chuck Taylor and Eric Cannon, this is not it, folks. There's going to be a lot more announced. So look forward for that.
Absolutely. And what I'm intrigued by about this tournament, I'm intrigued by many things, but one of the things I'm intrigued by, Jervis Cottonville and Colt Cabana. They are not necessarily wrestlers that you would associate with, the high flying ladder or the bash your back in with a chair or throw you through a door type of action. I'm curious if those guys make it to the final, how that's going to be. Like I was talking with Jervis on Twitter yesterday, and I made a joke about how if he gets to the DLC match, if he would just get confused and start opening the doors for ladies instead of wrestling. And he replied that, yes, I would probably have something I have to think about before next Sunday. So, yeah, I'm intrigued how those two will interact. Because there's a lot of high flyers, a lot of guys who I'm sure will have no problem using the equipment. But, yeah, Cabana and Jervis, they're very interesting to me. The two variables so far in the lineup.
Well, now that I have been effectively chased on this and corrected, let's talk about this, because this brings up a lot of stuff that could happen. A lot of, I guess we could put it, dream matches that could occur from this. And then on top of that, so if it is 3-on-3 and you have a team, but also, in essence, your teammates are also your opponents, because you don't want them to, say, get pinned too early, so then you're the last man standing on your team. But then at the same time, you want to be the guy going on to the DLC. And by DLC, we don't mean download content. We mean the doors, ladders, and chairs match. So how do you think that's going to work out? For example, if we had the Kentucky Buffet, as you mentioned, Matt Cage and Alex Castle teamed up with Chuck Taylor, the Kentucky Gentleman, how is he going to interact with them? And, of course, if they're a tag team, how are they going to interact with each other? Because only one man can go forward. They can't both go.
I will correct you once again. It's whoever's left from the team. So if, let's say, Kentucky Buffet and Chuck Taylor team up, and they completely sweep the other team, all three of them move on.
Well, you are correcting me all over the place. I am happy that you're on the show.
If, let's say, Chuck Taylor loses, then just the both Kentucky Buffet members move on. So it's, yes, I'm correcting you, Mr. My last name is initials.
yes.
But
trust
no.
Me, if you wanted to know the full last name, it's way too long for this podcast.
Yeah, I just assumed there was a U in there. I was going to call you Gust in the Wind, and then you would get annoyed with me, and you'd just shut this thing down now.
I'd be like, I haven't heard that before.
Exactly. Trust me, my name is Tom Green. I feel your pain, dude. I feel that pain.
Well, as we were saying, so you were correcting me. So, okay, so if the winners go on, and as we said, we don't even know how many participants they're going to be. You know, what I was told by VWA management, that there's still quite a few names to be announced. And I think that's tremendous, because there's a lot of intrigue to this, because we don't even know what the final participant count's going to be. So, Tom, I know that you're doing commentary for VWAA, and also you've done commentary in many other promotions as well. What do you think about this kind of format?
I am very intrigued by it, because like I mentioned earlier, Survivor Series 1990, that is like one of my favorite wrestling shows ever. This is very similar also, but instead of the Ultimate Survival match, it's a freaking doors, ladders, and chairs match. I get to go to a show and watch guys thrown through doors, and I get to talk about it on the DVD and the MP4. I'm so excited. This is such a cool lineup, because one thing I wanted to bring up is in 2013 in independent wrestling, with guys going certain places and guys moving on, there's a lot of spots to be for forward traction, so to speak. And I think we're the Midwest, especially, we have a group of guys who right now are on the cusp of something great. And I think this is going to be the show. I think this is the first time we've had both the league and the Team Overkill, the Kentucky Buffet and Christian Rose, all on the same show as those units, which I assume Team Overkill will all be together as a trio. I don't know that for sure. You would have to ask VWA management But like those guys, I think the league and Team Overkill are going to be guys that in the next 3 years, not just for VWAA, but Midwestern independent wrestling overall, they're going to be the leaders of the scene, the new fresh blood. And the fact that we've got all those guys together, we've got Dale Patrick's with them. You know, we have a class of independent wrestlers coming out of the Midwest who have put in their time, busted their tails the past few years, and now they're starting to reap the rewards of that time, of that effort, breaking out, going to, you know, the Kentucky Buffets, you know, wrestling across the Midwest, across the country. The league's becoming a pretty big deal across the country right now. This is the show. This is almost like if 2011 and 2012, where they were putting in all this work in the Buffet, like Southern Illinois and such, and for, you know, the league here in Indiana and Ohio, if that's high school, then May 19th for those guys is graduation. This is the show we look back on in 5 years when, you know, the league have gone to Japan and Europe, and maybe they spend some time on, one of them spends some time on national television, or the both of them, or the Kentucky Buffet become like one of the biggest things from coast to coast as a tag team, or Christian Rose, you know, does big things. We look back on this show, this is the graduating class of Midwestern wrestling in 2013 all together on a standout show, in this form, at least for the first time. I think that's what's interesting about this. And again, we don't know everyone that's in it. So, you know, we could have a lot more members, you know, a lot more guys from like Ohio, or a lot more Chicago-based guys, a full class altogether. You know, it could be it's very intriguing for me for that reason. But plus also, you have all these guys who are starting to gain that exposure, starting to get that traction. VWAA is so smart to get them all under the same roof for a VWAA, not just for an event, but for their title tournament, the league being regulars. And I assume the Buffet may be coming in more regularly. I don't know that. But, like, getting guys like Colt Cabana, Chuck Taylor, Eric Cannon in with them now, you know, when, you know, a year from now, those could be the very hot, you know, like the DVD seller matches. And it makes for a very exciting show full of fresh matches. And that's what wrestling needs right now, are fresh matches. The independent scene, a lot of guys are wrestling each other a million times. I don't want to criticize anyone, but that's how independent wrestling is right now. But these guys, there's so many fresh matches. Like, let's say, like, the DLC matches, like Mustafa Ali, Reed Bentley, Dale Patrick's, Colt Cabana, Eric Cannon, just pulling names out of my butt. That's that group of guys you will see nowhere else but VWAA, and they'll put on one heck of a match. So I'm so psyched, because no matter what happens, no matter how the guys are put together, no matter how the DLC match ends up, it'll be matches we've never seen before.
Yeah, and I'm even more intrigued about the aspect of, so as you corrected me, again, I appreciate that, say the league gets into the DLC, then it's every man for himself, so then they will have to face each other and become opponents to each other. And since they know each other so well, I think that adds a different aspect to that match altogether. And I'm going to throw out there, this hasn't been announced, but you know, as you said, you know, you've been commentating VWA. Guys like Ricky Shane Page and Eric Ryan, who are known also in the area, I think they could be thrown into this tournament as well. And I just think that there's a lot of, shall we say, as you said, fresh matchups that can occur. And VWA is, at this point, in my opinion, one of the few promotions kind of putting that stuff together out there in the Midwest. Are you intrigued by the fact that, you know, obviously they're going to become the circuit champion, but then they also become the figurehead, the face of VWAA? Because as of this new version of it, this is the only champion. Where do you think the winner goes from here? And I guess, given that the DLC match kind of puts on potential opponents, this is obviously a chance for some guys to put their names in, throw their names in that hat and say, hey, I was in there when the champion won the title, but I deserve a singles match.
Exactly. Where do I see the circuit champion going? He's, like you said, the face of the company. He's the only champion right now at this point. I know I had a long conversation with Trip Cassidy about a week ago about BWAA. He's a jerk and he's a miscreant, but he's also a guy I consider a friend. We had a long conversation about BWAA, and he kept going on and on about this tournament and about how it is all important that he wins this tournament because he wants to be the face of the company worse than anything. His goal right now is to find somewhere where he can be the guy and somewhere with, you know, that's going to give him that exposure like VWAA can, the Smart Mark video distribution, and through creating interest with all these top names like Ali and Chuck and Eric Cannon, but also where he's, again, he is the guy. He's not, you know, fighting and scrapping. He's the king of the jungle at this point. That's what he's looking for. Ironically enough, I then talked to Reed Bentley. We texted back and forth. Again, total jerk, total poop head, but he's a guy I consider a friend.
Oh, you can curse on this show if you want. I'm just letting you know.
I like poop head better than, you know, like asshole. I think poop head is awesome. It's the best insult ever. But I was talking to Bentley through text. He's like, that's exactly what he wants. He wants to be the face of the company because of how well 2013 has gone thus far for VWAA and the potential it has going through the year and on to 2014, so on and so forth, to be this awesome company in the Illinois region. Bentley wants to be the guy. So, and I imagine it's the same case. You know, I talked to Dale Patricks about it. Him and I are very good friends. We hung out a couple weeks ago. I talked with him for a bit, and you know, he wasn't able to make it to the show that I went up for in the month of April. But he very much is focused on becoming the guy in VWAA. And I imagine I'm not as close with a lot of these other guys, but I imagine that's the same thing. That you, if you're in a promotion, you don't just want to go and hang out and wrestle matches, you know, be the guy that's just kind of there. You want to be the guy. And that's what's important about this. That's why I think the DLC match is going to be as risky as that match would normally be on a normal show, whether it be VWAA or somewhere else, just a regular show. The fact that A, it's a title match, and B, the winner of that match is pretty much presented the key to the castle. He is the king of the jungle. He's the layer of the land. I think guys will take more risks. I think we will get much even more spectacular action than before. That match is has the potential to be one of the craziest, nuttiest matches of the past year or two in independent wrestling, and definitely one of the most nuttiest, craziest matches in VWAA history. I am scared to death I'm going to blow out my voice like two matches into this show, and then by the time we get to the DLC match, I will be like bleeding out of my throat because of how excited I am. But the DLC match is going to be nuts, and because of the title, not just because, oh, all these awesome wrestlers, but because of what's on the line. You know, this show is the most important show of the year so far, and I think could be one of the most important shows of every year if the company decides, hey, we're going to keep doing something like this every year, which I know I've talked to VWA management, and that's something they would like to do. But yeah, I'm so freaking excited for the show, man.
I am too. I am too. And also because when I first started covering VWA, Numbers Game 2.0 was actually the first show I ever reviewed for them. This was back in December of 2011. And I'm hoping that anyone who's listening to this, if you are near Plainfield, Illinois, you'll come out and perhaps, and I don't know how else to put this, kind of cheer for the home team. Because as of this moment, for the past 2012, past year basically, I've been covering VWAA, and I look at the already announced names. Joe Faraz and Thomas Sinclair are really the only two that have been with VWAA for quite some time. I'm hoping they announce a third, maybe an Isaias Velasquez, maybe a Lamar Titan. I guess we could even include, and you've seen this man live, and as I put in my reviews, he's a mountain of a man, Matthias Kalevra. But there's something to be said that it's also very important to the guys that have been there, I would say essentially from the beginning. I'm not an expert on, they've been around for about 5+ years, so I wasn't watching them way back when, but in terms of when I started, you have guys like Sinclair and Faraz, who this company means everything to them. They've stayed loyal to them. And now they're bringing in all these other talents. And while that's awesome and it gives them a lot of fresh matchups, I think there's something to be said for a talent who's been there, busted their butt and bled for the company, and now there's a chance to be the renewed circuit champion. And I think guys like Ferraz and Sinclair really want to do that. Tom, give me kind of your views on them as well. Joe Ferraz, obviously, he's kind of a high flyer. He's a I want to say he's a he's a light heavyweight, but he's even smaller than that. But he can go when he has to. And Thomas Sinclair, I would say he's right up there with guys like Reed Bentley or Matt Cage when it comes to striking. He just, you know, he loves those knees and elbows, and he will knock a guy out, you know, when if he's given the chance. What have you thought of the guys that have been in VWA for a little bit longer than, say, some of these new talents like the Lee coming in?
Well, in the case of Ferraz and Sinclair, like you said, man, it's as badly as a Trip Cassidy or as badly as even a guy like a Christian Rose or a Jervis Cottonbelly might want to be the face of VWAA. I mean, like you said, these guys have put in the time. And the fact that VWAA is thriving like it is now and having all this outside talent and all this outside exposure to it, they want to be the ones reaping the rewards more than anybody, because they bleed pink. They bleed more pink than anybody. And Sinclair has double motivation because the league have decided they are going to take him out. They're their goal in VWAA. I explained it in a commentary for No Room for Doubt, which I'm sure will soon be up on smartmarkvideo.com. Their goal is they see VWAA kind of like prison. Not necessarily in that it's a horrible place to be, but in that they don't want to be someone's girlfriend. They want to be the guy there. They want to be the guys. So they're going to take out who they perceive to be the guy coming in. Thomas Sinclair, you know, he's had... You know, he's been a villain previously. He's gotten out of that. He's a good dude now. You know, he's wanting to be, you know, hold for all, move for move, considered the best guy in VWAA. He's going about it the right way. Even if it's, you know, it's shaky at first with some of the, you know, my commentary partner Kirby Alexander has said on commentary at the last show, you know, he wasn't fully trustful of Sinclair still, but more so after, you know, seeing his character come through with some of this league nonsense, shenanigans, and such. But no, the league wants to take out Sinclair. What I'm interested in is whether the matchmakers decide, okay, the league and Sinclair are having their issues, let's throw them in a trios qualifier, or if they decide we would rather see these guys kill each other in the main event, so we're going to put them in separate qualifiers, hope they win their matches, and then show up and beat the living daylights out of each other with all these weapons. Either way, Sinclair has that motivation coming in. And that's going to be all important as to whether or not he's in a match with the league at the first half of the show, or if they somehow end up together in the main event. I think that's going to change Sinclair's motivation and Sinclair's motives going in to the tournament. He's coming in full steam ahead either way, but it's a different dynamic either direction there. And Ferraz, I'm very interested to see if, you know, if he makes a DLC match, what type of offense he can pull off. Cause like you said, he's a small dude, so he has to take more risks in order to gain success in the ring. He's been successful thus far in VWA. He's defeated, you know, the Big Bear Benjamin Boone, who is a big, big dude. And this past show, he defeated the Canadian Rainbow Man, who he's something.
I gotta admit, I'm a little intrigued to see what that is, because there was no image given of what he looks like, nothing on the website, and I haven't seen the show yet.
Kirby and I think have tried to figure out who the heck it is. We're thinking it's either Pat Patterson, Tito Santana, or Bruce Hart. But that's just our thoughts. But Ferraz, also on this past show, I don't want to give him any ideas because I don't want to see him break his neck, because he is the nicest, most smiley dude you'll ever meet. He's a sweetheart. But the last show against the Canadian Rainbow Man, they brought the skateboard that he carries to the ring and rides around into the contest. And Ferraz ended up pulling off some offense with it. If he does that in the DLC match, Let's just say heads will explode. That brings a whole new dynamic. I don't know, but Faraz and Stickler, like you said, they're going to be, I think more than anybody. I don't want to say more than anybody because I'm not inside anyone's heads, but I think
have a lot of motivation.
Exactly,
different type of motivation.
Exactly, their goal is they want the world to recognize that the VWAA. I don't want to call them the VWAA originals because then we start thinking about, you know, Balls Mahoney dating Kelly and, but the
no
VWAA. No, they don't, or Balls and Mahoney in general. But the VWAA stalwarts, the guys who have been there, put in the time, want to prove to the world that yeah, we have some new guys in who have some regional and national acclaim, but we're still the best here. Period. End of sentence. And they get that home field advantage too. So that's always going to be a factor, no matter how much guys try to discount it. A wrestler in his home promotion is always at his most comfortable and will always perform at his best. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But like, there are a million variables. We could be here, Chris. We could be here until May 19th talking about every stinking variable in this tournament. But
yeah,
we
really could, and all the nuances that could come from that, as I alluded to, and that is something to be said that at some point, say Sinclair was teamed with the league, that even though I was mistaken in the beginning, that does become a situation where his opponents or his team are his opponents, but at the same time, how much damage does he want them to take going into the DLC? So then maybe there's something he can take advantage of.
Or even if, let's say, it's Sinclair and two partners against the league and a partner. And his goal, like, he has to get through both members of the league and the third guy first. You know, he's going to be going in with that extra, you know, that extra pee and vinegar for the league. You know, maybe that takes more out of him for the DLC match than expected. As opposed to, you know, he goes in for the DLC match. Yeah, there's a lot of weapons around, but it's still a championship match where, you know, you gotta be thinking five steps ahead as opposed to three, but his head is strictly league, kill. So that's going to be a conflict. It's going to be a conflict mentally for him.
And he's a very focused fighter. I know you've seen him live. I mean, when he's in a match, he is dead set. There is something about him. When he comes to the ring, he's very friendly and nice, but once he gets in there, it's game on.
And like you said, he's, like you mentioned, he's such a good striker. My partner Kirby likes to say that he's very effective with the pointy stuff, the elbows and the knees and such. He knows how to use his body as a weapon. And as for Tripp and for Reed, they are pals of mine, but they've gotten themselves, I think, into something that hopefully they can walk out to tell the tale for, because Sinclair wants to hurt them both real bad. Real bad.
Absolutely. And, of course, this is obviously going to be one of the many, you know, points of this event that I think a lot of fans should pay attention to. So whether you can be there live in Plainfield, Illinois, or you check them out on Smart Mark Video, where they're a VOD, generally $10, $9.99 even, so that's even better. You really should be keeping an eye out for this event coming up on May 19th. Let's talk a little bit about the Wrestling is Heart part of it. There's one match announced, the King of Indiana, Billy Rock, and the Phoenix Dale Patricks, who is already announced, as we said, for the tournament, against the League, Reed Bentley and Tripp Cassidy.
Nobody likes those guys. Like, I think I am their only, like, friend outside of each other in the entire, like, wrestling world.
Well, at least they get along with each other, right?
Yeah, which, I mean, at times they're kind of like a married couple, but in that ring they're very, very focused. But just don't get them talking about Pokemon. That's bad news.
I will take your word for that. But yeah, with the league being, and I'm not too aware of the history of Rock and Patrick's, do they even have a tag team history? Have they tagged
them in the past? I believe this is their first match. They certainly didn't team when I was involved with the School Rock Class Wars deal.
So the league's going to have the advantage, which generally...
Oh, absolutely. The league is... They both have the advantage in terms of experience, and just in my opinion, they're one of the best tag teams in the country, and they're just getting better. I mean, like we were talking about, Tripp Cassidy is 20 years old. You know, just turned 20 in December. he's got probably 10 more years where he's going to do nothing but grow physically and get better in the ring. And he's on the upwards slide, and so is Bentley. But I mean, these guys are so stinking young, and they're just going to grow together better as they take more matches as a team. They're scary dangerous, man. They're scary good. But there's a lot of personal gaga going into this. I know, you know, Patrick's and Cassidy were best friends up until Dale started training at School Rock. They grew up. I believe the tale they told me about their first meeting was like they were in like freshman history class or something, or some like freshman homeroom or something like that at high school in Indianapolis, and the teacher asked them all what they did over the summer, and Tripp was a huge wrestling fan at the time. Didn't know anybody else was. Dale raises his hand. Oh, I went to the Great American Bash, and I decided I'm going to be a wrestler when I get out of school in 4 years. And that bond grew and grew. Tripp's parents allowed him to start training a lot younger than Dale, so he had a couple of years on Dale experience-wise and started treating him like a dirty young boy almost, having him carry his gear everywhere. They lived together here in Lafayette for a year and a half. And I would go visit them, and to say Tripp treated Dale like dirt at the apartment is an understatement. I mean, he didn't do a single chore the entire time they lived together. He made Dale and Dale's fiance do everything because he's a jerk, and he believed that Dale was his young boy, and he had to do all that stuff both in and out of the ring. So that's a drift kind of, and some of the School Rock class war stuff, you know, that drift between the two, that split, became more and more apparent. And then Bentley and Rock had a match on the April Wrestling His Heart show. Reed Bentley won. And it was a weird deal because right around the time that SOR Class Wars became Wrestling His Heart, Reed Bentley, he is a villain at heart, but he was trying to, we thought he was trying to change his ways. He was training with Billy and trying to learn the right thing, way to go about things. And he become a protege of Billy's, a very good one. I know on conversations with Billy, he would just rave and rave and rave about how well he thought Bentley was doing compared to how well he thought he was going to do. Just Bentley was killing it. And the last match I called for SOR Class Wars or Wrestling His Heart or what have you was Bentley against Billy Rock at the School of Rock in a match. Not one strike was thrown. I don't want to think they even hit the ropes once. It was hold for hold, move for move, clean technical wrestling. Billy Rock got him. He hooked him. He got him. But Bentley put the hand out, shook his hand, and we thought we had a new Reed Bentley on our hands. April 20th comes in the Wrestling His Heart world, and yeah, Bentley shows who he really is. Takes every cheap shot he can. Shows the world that hey, it was all big ploy to catch Billy Rock off guard, so the league can take Billy Rock offhand as SOR Class Wars is becoming Wrestling His Heart and things are expanding and, you know, more eyes are on the product. They wanted to be the guys. They didn't want it to be the School of Rock guys as well as other outside guys. They wanted it to be the league and then everyone else. So that's kind of what's happening there. Again, a lot of plot points and such. But yeah, and then Billy and Dale have had kind of an odd relationship where Dale wants to be the model student from the School of Rock. Problem is, he tries way too hard, and he often will either goof up or he'll do something wrong and frustrate the heck out of Billy. So if that's still a factor going into this match, then I see a very short night for the league going into the numbers game tournament at BWAA. But if Rock and Patrick's can get their games together, I don't know, it could steal that entire show. I don't even know what the heck else is on the show, but I think it'll be the entire show at Wrestling's Heart.
No, I don't even think they've announced any other matches, so that's all we can really go off of. But yeah, no, the league, I've been very impressed with them in the VWAA. On the first show, I believe they defeated Bobby Beverly and Eric Ryan in a match that I thought was probably one of the best on the entire card. And then they did the same against the Painkillers. Jacob and Donnie Hollows, I believe is their name. And
yeah, the Hollows, yes, something.
And they had a fantastic match with them too. So yeah, they are as dangerous as they come, and I am intrigued as anything with them being not only in the tournament, but also in any tag match where they can really showcase what they can do. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up, though, so you broke the news that Chuck Taylor and Eric Cannon are going to be in this tournament, and these are two guys in other promotions have experience in trios. And as you said also, they're essentially going to be the veterans. So anyone that is teamed with them, I think, almost already has an advantage going in terms of the team aspect. And then, of course, you know, I think we got to talk about it. Colt Cabana's on this, and I don't know, as much as Colt Cabana as I've seen, he is obviously a veteran, but also when it comes to trios, I think he adds a different aspect, especially for a lot of the wrestlers on the card. They've probably never faced him before. They probably looked up to him, they probably watched him on other promotions, but what do you think that does when you're across the ring from a guy that maybe you watched, you know, while you were growing up and becoming a wrestler? Do you think that kind of – there's a little bit of a – I don't want to say fear, but that you know kinda, that kinda he knows.
Almost starstruck maybe in a
perhaps,
way.
Perhaps, yeah. Going in, what do you think these guys are going to say when they see Chuck Taylor and Eric Cannon or Colt Cabana across from them?
Well, I'm telling you right now, if I am any of these guys in this tournament, I am – as soon as I hear this podcast and I hear that Chuck Taylor and Eric Cannon are in this tournament as well – I am calling VWA management. I'm sending them emails, Facebook messages, so on and so forth, petitioning, campaigning, politicking to get one of those guys or both of them on my team. Because like you said, they are, out of everyone in this tournament, they are easily the most experienced at trios matches and being able to bring three competitors together to form one moving, breathing unit in order to be successful in a trios match. And with Cabana, with all the exposure he's gotten the past couple of years, he's my friend Leonard F. Chikarison would call maybe like the independent wrestling version of a world star, where he's kind of transcended, if you will. But the thing that these guys have, the successful wrestler in this tournament is the guy that is willing, that is able to put all of that aside. It's like going into a job interview, you know. If you're going there and you're nervous and they can tell, oh, this person obviously has put this job up on a pedestal and they're freaking out, you're going to get swallowed alive. Same with this. Colt Cabana is across the ring from someone who can tell that, you know, the thing going through their mind right now is, you know, studio apartment or thanks or that, you know, all the goofy stuff he has on YouTube and see him as this big, big star. Then he's going to swallow them up. He's going to have some fun with them, and he's going to pin their shoulders to the mat very quickly. Whereas the wrestler who comes into this and sees Colt Cabana as a dangerous wrestler, but one that is his equal, that is the guy that will be successful in this tournament. And that's the same way with all these guys. That's what you have to do, is you have to see these guys as they are. Is, yeah, maybe Colt Cabana's had, you know, all this great success across the world, but at the end of the day, everyone is flesh and bone, and you got to be prepared for their strengths, but you also got to go and know that they got weaknesses. And you have to know those weaknesses. You have to be confident in your ability to take advantage of those weaknesses. It does add a different factor, but at the same time, we get a lot of headstrong young wrestlers in this tournament. A lot of headstrong young wrestlers, but with healthy attitudes, so to speak. So there might be some of that. But, like, I know the case of the guys I know personally, they're not going to let someone who, just because, you know, they've wrestled across the world, they're not going to let that get in their head. I could be wrong. So, but that's going to be very interesting to see, especially to see who is placed against Cabana or against Cannon or against Chuck in this tournament. It's kind of like World War III, the first one that WCW did when they had the three giants and three rings. They're kind of the three giants. Eric Cannon is the Yeti, who for some reason was dressed as a ninja in the battle.
Is Chuck Taylor the mummy? Is that where you were going with this?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Good times. Well, you can check this out live. As we said, Plainfield, Illinois, May 19th. This is Vanguard Wrestling All-Star Alliance, and wrestling is heart. This is Numbers Game 3.0. As we said, front row tickets for both shows, $15. General admission, $10 for each show. You will get $2 off if you attend both. And then kids 12 and under are free. I do want to add, because I didn't really know how much else we could talk about it, but Former WWE superstar Gangrel is going to be at the show. Canadian Rainbow Man is making his return. Heidi Lovelace also, and Saturnine Mia Martinez as well. Those are the names of people that they're not in the VWA tournament, but they will be in attendance at the show. And I would assume Wrestling Either on Wrestling Is Hard or VWAA.
I know Gangrel's on Wrestling Is Hard. I don't know if he's on VWAA, but if he is on VWAA, and I know VWA management will listen to this, please have someone cut a hole in the floor and have him raise from it so I can giggle and get giddy and become an 8-year-old again. But I don't know if he's on both shows, so he might not be. So I want to throw that out there. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, Gangrel's going to be 4 o'clock show, so I won't go to the 1 o'clock show if I got something to do.
Exactly.
I want to let you know, go to both shows because you don't know who's on one, who's on the other. So.
Exactly. And be sure to check that out, as we said, in Plainfield, Illinois. All the information will be provided for in the information with this podcast. Tom, it's been great having you on. And as always, we like to give our guests a chance to plug everything that they do.
I have so much stuff. Oh, my goodness. We're going to be here for another hour. First off, one thing I did want to throw out about the tournament we did not touch on. I hope Prince Mustafa Ali is still living after the tournament's over with, just because he is – put his body through quite the ringer the past couple of months. You know, VWAA, him and Ricky Shane Page had an incredible opening contest with lots of risks taken.
Absolutely. I think it was one of my favorite matches on that event.
Yes, on the February Out of the Ashes event. Then him and Mr. Touchdown, Mark Angelicetti and Josh Alexander killed it. The Mars Show, and of course, Eric Ryan and Ali killed it at the show I was at. No Room for Doubt on the 27th. But, also, I saw a clip on my pal Mike Robles' Facebook page, Mike Robles being the unsung hero of the independent wrestling scene, doing so much to get these Smartwork video DVDs out so soon. But he'll like upload clips of shows that he's at the day after they happen. And he was at Dreamwave Wrestling in, I believe it's Southern Illinois. I don't want to throw a town out. But it was Ali and Lince Dorado, former Chikara star. And the clip is of them doing a Spanish fly from the second rope to the floor. Thud. I'm thinking, Ollie's dead. Might as well just announce another guy for the tournament. But no, I guess Ollie's doing good. But I'm just scared. I'm just scared because there's going to be ladders and table and doors. Not tables, but doors. Doors, doors, doors. There will be doors. Jim Morrison is not booked, but there are doors, doors, doors. And chairs. And Ollie is going to either kill himself or kill somebody else. So I want to throw that out real quick. And Ali, he scares me going into this. If he's in that match, he scares the heck out of me. But yeah, let's play my stuff.
Yeah, and he definitely has been busting his butt in VWA. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, 2013, as great as Ali was, you know, let's say 5 years ago, he's killing it in VWA lately. I'd say he's the MVP of the promotion this year so far. 3 for 3 in terms of both wins and stealing the show. But let's show my stuff. I'm on Twitter, like we said at the beginning, at Not That Tom Green. I would like to have a bajazillion followers, which, I don't know. Maybe someday I want to go on Twitter and see the word bazillion beside my follower account. But whatever, I live tweet Raw every Monday. I tell really bad jokes, so if you just want to follow me on Mondays even, and you're a wrestling fan, just do that. But I also tell horrible jokes about current events and stuff during the week. I don't know. Follow VWAA on Twitter at VWAA. That's a Victor Whiskey, Alpha Alpha VWAA. The Facebook page, I believe, is facebook.com/VWAA. Let me type that in right now and see if that's correct.
I believe
it's
that
not
is valid.
No, it's not. It says, sorry, this page isn't available. Just put VWAA in the search bar thing on Facebook. Find it.
Oh, it might be VWAA Wrestling.
Okay.
Yes. All that information I will provide also in the podcast.
Yes, there's links and stuff. VWAAWrestling.com is the website. Oh, yes, VWAA Wrestling is the Facebook page as well. It just popped up. Awesome. I'm doing my job excellently. Also, catch up on these shows we're talking about. Go to smartworkvideo.com, the MP4 downloads. VWAAWrestling.com has the DVDs of the shows. The unsung heroes of the Midwestern independent scene right now are VWAA. I wasn't excited about wrestling for a few months coming into 2013. And I saw VWAA's lineups. Like, this could be kind of really cool. Then I got to check them out. And these shows are, they're really freaking solid. And I want more people to talk about them. And then the opportunity came up for me to work for them. like, oh, this is going to be cool. I don't want to do a lot of stuff anymore. I'm kind of wrestling, you know, 1 week a month and then doing other stuff, you know, comedy and podcasting and all that. The other 3 weeks of the month. But VWA, I was there, like I said, on the 27th for No Room for Doubt. And it's a really cool locker room of dudes who are on that rise, who are so stinking hungry. Just a locker room of dudes I adore the heck out of. I can't say enough more positive about VWA. Just was one of the more pleasant wrestling experiences I ever had, was April 27th in Plainfield. And I look forward to going back as often as VWA wants to have me doing play by play with Kirby Alexander, which I thought he's the friggin' man. He made me feel so comfortable and so welcome. And I thought we did really good work for our first time ever together. I look forward to calling this madness with him on the 19th of May. Also, to show my other stuff, youtube.com/MikeandTomPresent. I work on the kind of successful Joe Gagne's Funtime Pro Wrestling Arcade. A few thousand views a show. I think our WrestleFest episode is up to like 25,000 views. I don't know. But follow that on Twitter at JoeGagneFTA. Also, I have a podcast where I talk about wrestling with people who they aren't, I don't want to say in the bubble, but they're not people you hear talking about wrestling every day. I've had a lot of comedians on. I've had a lot of comedy writers. My first episode, I spoke with a dude named Rob Fee, who's a writer for the Ellen DeGeneres Show. My pal Kevin Marshall's on for a two-peat this Friday. We're going to talk about e-feds and embarrassing wrestling role-playing online that we did in our youth. That'll be fun. Kevin's a stand-up comedian, and also he works for Spike TV. So that'll be fun. And I got a huge announcement about the guy that's going to be on next week. I listened to the show. I might announce it then, but it's at Russell Folks on Twitter, facebook.com/RussellFolks. And search for Russell Folks on iTunes, or just go to the Twitter and click any of the links, because I've linked it out so darn much. We're 8 episodes deep, 9 this coming Friday. It's a good time, man. It's life's good. I love life. I love VWAA. I love independent wrestling. I love you, Chris. I love PW Ponderings. Love my wife. Love my dog. So yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Probably left something out, but.
Well, that's good to know. Lots of love going on around here. If you want to check me out on Twitter and listen to me make more mistakes about wrestling and probably life in general, you can check me out at twitter.com/CGSTonk. That's CGSTONG. As always, if you are listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher for your Android devices, we'd appreciate if you leave us a review. Get that little algorithm going. And as always, you can check us out at pwponderings.com and on Twitter at pwponderings. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/prowrestlingponderings.
I just realized I didn't follow you, so I'm going to follow you now. Click. And hey, you work for the MLW podcast. It's pretty cool.
I have done a little bit of stuff for there, and we're going to see when that comes out. And as always, you can email us at mailbag@pwponderings.com. So thanks again, Tom, for being on the show. And everyone.
Thank you, dude. This has been fun. Let me know if you ever want me back for any VWAA stuff, and I will be here. Unless I just totally embarrass the company and they call me and they're like, let's put the hook around this kid's throat, which I totally understand if you guys are listening. Yeah. So.
Well, we'll see. That's a good hook for the next time. If Tom Green is back on the podcast.
Then you're alive. Or alive. They could kill me.
You never know. You know, independent wrestling these days, you just, you never know.
Put on the black gloves and get rid of me.
There you go. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We all hope you have a good week and enjoy.